Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
What is the story your car would tell? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Sean. Welcome to the men's room.
What's up, fellas?
Hola.
Just so I want to let you know, I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Attaboy.
I like it. No, my story did not end well as the other two gentlemen's. Probably should have known from when we went down to Chula Vista to buy it. We took the train, and the salesman says, "You guys aren't going to, you have another way to get out of here, right? If the sale doesn't go through." And we're like, well, no, why? He's like, you don't want to be here after dark. So that was a salesman where we bought the Ford pickup truck, the lifted Ranger, you know, not an F-150, but it's new to me. I'm like, just graduated high school. We're going to go off-road in Azusa Canyon. On the way up, mind you, no cell phone service, no nothing, around a corner, and there's like a person directly in my lane. So it's head on or it's go to the shoulder. So off to the shoulder we go. Truck hits a rut, bounces sideways, and then rolls 1.5 times. Mind you, we stop like, I don't know, maybe 10 feet from like a 300-foot gulch.
Jesus.
Yeah, and so I climb out like a gopher, like poking its head out from the hole on the side of the driver's side. My buddies come back, turn around. I hop out of the truck and I'm like, dude, what happened? And I told them what happened. And we're like, what the hell do we do now? Right? Like no cell phone service. We're miles away from anything. And we're like, well, I'm looking at the truck. It looks all right. There's some fluid leaking. Let's roll it over. So some Hispanic guys stop. They help us push it over. Looking at it, now this truck is, I mean, the only thing that's straight is the tailgate and the rear window. Everything else is destroyed. I mean, the windshield is spider cracked 1,000 ways. The roof line on the driver's side was like 3 inches lower than the passenger side. I mean, just side mirrors gone. Every piece of body were just mangled.
How much had you just bought this truck for?
Like 28.
All right. But still, and that age.
Of
that's...
course, I didn't buy it. I owed money on it. It wasn't mine yet, and so I'm like, "What are we doing?" I'm like, "Let's see if it fires up." Fired it up. Started after a little different try. Blew smoke for maybe 5 minutes, and then it was good. I'm like, "All right, let's drive it down the hill." And so as we're coming down Azusa Canyon, right before we get on the freeway, there's a police officer, a bike cop, sitting right there. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And he looks at me as I drive by, and he just shakes his head. And then I drive.
He didn't even bother.
He's like, dude, I think you had a bad enough day. So, anyways, I drove that thing home on the 5 freeway. Just, I had to get it home, you know, because my insurance didn't cover the tow. And I'm like, the insurance got to total this thing, right? There's no way. Insurance did not total it. Take it to a body shop.
Hang on.
Once again, bedroom colors, here are the 7 words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now, back to the program.
And he hung up.
Ow.
Yeah, we're going to get back to you, man. Just a slip of the tongue.
All right.
You what know time? Your car's in bad shape. When you drive that by a cop, and the cop's just like, that's all you, bro.
Yeah, have at it.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck to you.
What is the story your car would tell? 206-421-ROCK.
Sadly, you know, I was thinking about this question. I realized of all the stories any vehicle I've been a part of would possibly tell, I think it was a 1987. It was definitely a red Dodge Omni, I believe from 87. And what it would say is, I remember the time that these two brothers got to me, went to downtown Baltimore, and they kidnapped someone for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they thought it was hilarious. I'm glad that car can't talk, but he's right there.
Yeah, I mean, I have too many car stories, but I mean, some of them are just weird, like kind of like where Miles grew up. Like, I didn't grow up in an area like that. Thank you, Mike. But I went to visit a buddy outside of Pittsburgh, and they, like, his friend had the same thing, had one of those farm trucks or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, at nighttime, he'd be like, yeah, like, I'll drive you guys to the bar in the truck. We're like, cool. Then on the way home, back roads, they would just turn off the lights and drive around. And they thought it was just the funnest thing in the world to do.
How terrified were you?
Oh, beyond scared. Like, I couldn't even concentrate.
Yeah, that'll do that. I know people think it's funny. Like, I'm turn off the lights for a minute. Like, man, don't.
Yeah. Well, my buddy had a farm use only truck on his property.
Yeah.
We were 12 years old. We could drive it. We thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
That is great.
It was awesome. We all learned to drive in that truck.
If you have that much property, it's a farm use vehicle. I'm 12 years old, and the parents are like, yeah, dude, have at it. Who would not want to do that?
Yeah, it's kind of how we learned a lot. We would just drive the loop of the perimeter of the property.
Right.
You didn't have to have any kind of license plate on it. You just had to have farm use spray painted on the side.
And that was it.
No insurance. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know the legality of it, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't illegal for him, even when we were 12 or 13, to drive the truck as long as it stayed on the property.
Stayed on the farm.
I was going to say, right, I would think it's once you take it onto a major road. That's probably where you get in trouble.
So what is the rule with that? So say I have legitimate farm equipment. I didn't spray paint it, but I got, I don't know, whatever I need to be a farmer. My kid is 10, 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I put him on the vehicle. And he knows what he's doing. But like if a cop showed up for something and saw my kid going by on this.
He's working.
Is that an issue or is that okay? Assuming it's a family
it's okay,
member.
Because right? You got to keep in mind, he had four wheelers, they had three wheelers.
Tractor.
You know, 150cc, you know, motorcycles that they run on the property. So everything else was driven on the property by a 12-year-old.
No.
Right. So I'm assuming that, you know, most of those things could be road licensed to some degree.
Could be.
But
I would think, too, like, if you're driving a tractor or something and you're farming and you're 12 or 13, like, I don't know why people would care. Like, you're going to drive a truck on the property. It's kind of like, I think that's the parents' call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd be like, yeah, well, that's why my 13-year-old's driving the car because I'm drunk. So I called them to pick me up from the bar. What is the problem?
Look, it's his grandmother's farm. She didn't care. And she would send us on errands. So go down to the Safeway and, you know, pick up this for dinner or whatever the deal was.
Right.
Give me a couple packs of cigarettes. So we just go down there and buy her stuff and drive it back. And no questions asked.
Never. I mean, my one grandma, Mimi, right? Like, she died when I was young. But I remember this is D.C., but we would walk a few blocks and buy cigarettes and we could get some candy. But
No one
gave it two thoughts. But, like, mm-hmm. is that any worse? Like, we were, like, 7.
Yeah.
Is that anywhere? Like, that seems almost more dangerous to me than having a 12-year-old drive a truck on a farm.
It's like this.
Yeah,
my daughter right now in our neighborhood could walk into the 7-Eleven and tell the guy who works there, Ron, that her dad needs cigarettes and tell him my name, and he would give her, I mean, I doubt he would do it, but he would know what cigarettes I buy.
Right. Yeah.
So back then, it wasn't a big deal. Like, I know your dad. I know he smokes.
Oh, that was it.
You know, Durals or Merits or whatever the hell people were smoking back in the day.
But I don't know if that worked. So I could do the same thing for my father. He smoked Merit. Funny that you say that. But the place we got it was literally a general store as we lived out in the woods. So they knew everyone. They knew my father. So if I went in and said I need Merit, he didn't question it. But I'm wondering if at that time I rolled into, I don't know, Safeway.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know you personally. And I still said, I need a couple packs of smokes for my dad. If they'd still, I feel like they would have.
Well, not only that, but
there were no real questions. Yeah. They would not let you buy beer for them, but you could buy cigarettes.
Because when I did it for Mimi, I mean, we're talking Northeast D.C., so there's a lot of customers going to the store. They were right. We didn't smoke them, but I don't think they cared.
She drank Miller High Life and watched Cubs baseball and WGN in Chicago.
So could you buy beer for
that? We'd always buy. She would give us a check. She would sign the check, put Safeway on there. We would fill into the amount.
Right.
They would show us how to do it because checks were a little bit different.
Right.
You know, when you're 13 years old, 12 years old, they kind of show you how to write it in, give them the check, walk out with a bag, drive back to the farm, give her her beer, and then keep on driving on the property.
See, that's when kids were useful for their parents.
Yeah.
I look at my kids like, you can walk your ass to the store, get me smokes and beer.
And then she
give
would
give me
just,
a bottle of Jack, too.
Then she'd
man.
Hook us up with a big ass chicken dinner.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
What is your inebriation story? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, boys.
Hola.
How's it going?
Doing great, man. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. So my story starts out, I was hanging out with four friends over at a buddy's house. And we were all drinking heavily, a lot of whiskey. And then one of the guys gets a text saying that there's a house party that we're going to go to. So we all Ubered up. Up there, we get there, and it's just two of the ugliest chicks I've ever seen.
Okay. Yeah. Damn, I did not
brought
see
brought to you by Men's Room Original Ale. Make better decisions, okay? Drink responsibly.
Let's get to drinking.
All right.
So we started, I think I started angry drinking. And that is the last thing I remember. We took a shot of tequila. And the next thing I remember, it was probably 6 hours later, I'm walking down a neighborhood, and it's light out. And I have no idea where I'm at. And there's a guy out mowing his lawn. I was like, what the hell is going on? So I keep walking. Finally see a street that looks familiar. I was kind of by my mom's house, but it was still about 3 miles away. And so I finish walking, get to my mom's house, have her drive me back to my buddy's because I have no idea where we were at. And one of my buddy was we get back to the girl's house we were at, and as soon as we knock on the door, she looks at me, and she's like, why the hell are you here? And I was like, because I lost my cell phone, my work phone, and my car keys in my wallet. And I was asking them if they knew where it was at, and she said, get the hell out of my house, you're never allowed back. And I was like, well, why? What happened? And she said that they tried to give me a ride home, and I wouldn't tell them where I lived because I thought they were going to rob me.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So then...
of what? You don't have anything of value on you. You still can't find
it. Yeah. Well, I thought I left it at the house or something, but they... she said that they dropped me off at a Safeway. And I ended up walking like 6 miles backwards from where I thought I was.
Oh, geez.
And, yeah, it was ridiculous. It was one of the worst days. Never been more hungover in my entire life.
Brought to you by Men's Room Original Ale. Make better decisions, okay? Drink responsibly.
A couple years ago, stone cold sober. For some reason, I thought I left my wallet here at work.
All right.
So I get home. I'm going to go out to dinner. And I'm like, man, you've got to be kidding me. Now I got to go all the way back to work. So I come back to work, comb through everything on the desk, like under the desk, and my backpack. I'm just like... it's not here. Like, what in the hell? I go down to the garage and search through my car, and I'm like, man, I lost my damn wallet. I go home. I'm like, well, I guess I'm just going to make dinner here at the house tonight. Walk upstairs. There it is, right on the kitchen counter. She's like, damn it. Damn it. Well, thank God, but damn it.
Right, right, right.
It's like, oh, that time wasted down the toilet. What is your inebriation story? 206-421-ROCK.
I will say one of my favorite inebriation stories, not me. Not Miles, but our very own, the Ted Smith.
Woo! What story is this?
No, it was the event at Ravens Stadium.
Oh, okay.
And I can't. It was a company wide or all the.
It was like a dating. Yeah. It was a dating singles.
Like speed dating, whatever, something. Man. But it was the cluster of stations. We had five stations.
They're
like
all
a
there.
Lot of radio. All of us are there because all of us invited these people to whatever this event was. And there's. Basically, you're walking around the concourse of a stadium, and they had food set up, photo booths, just this kind of crap, but it's an adult thing. But the day before that, and they made it very clear, CBS Radio wasn't messing around. They're like, hey, no drinking at the event. Some things had happened leading up to this. We're like, look, and not just us, but just company-wide.
Janet Jackson was a big part of that, too.
Janet Jackson was a huge part of that, and it was like, look, just you can drink all you want, just not at the event, right? That was the big thing, so we're like, fine, so we circumvented that. We'll pregame. That way, we do not drink at the event. What can they say? Well, everyone shows up at my place. We're going to ride down with Miles. And Ted, how much, what was it, vodka or?
No, it was gin.
It was gin.
I had a plastic bottle of gin.
And it was a gallon jug?
Whatever the half gallon is. I mean, I can't remember if it was full or not. I just remember I had like a 32-ounce cup and poured a extremely strong, large drink. I still can't remember if I had done something in between work and there. Because I swear to God,
I had a little bit, but you
brought
that over.
I know it was one giant drink, right? But it still seems odd I got that wasted off that one drink. And I was still probably three bills at that point.
So, I mean, we don't have time to tell the whole story, but essentially, the gin hits Ted as we're walking into the event, right? Because you were fine on the car ride, but you started slowing down. It's like, oh no. So, Miles and I are trying to keep an eye on Ted because the bosses, again, and they were real clear about this, man. So
they were pissed.
they couldn't be pissed because they could find me and Miles, but they couldn't find Ted because we knew where to stash Ted for a minute when the bosses are circulating around. And they would say things like, hey, man, we heard Ted is drunk. I'm like, I've seen him. He seems absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. Well, I heard he was slurring his words, and I believe I came up with it's his allergy medication. And my boss was like, do you think I'm stupid? I'm like, it doesn't matter, man. I'm telling you.
I think I took a shot of DayQuil.
I've not seen. But I did lie.
Brought to you by Men's Room Original Ale. Bet you wish that didn't happen.
I can confirm that Ted has not had a drink in this building. We've been, and it didn't.
So I took Ted home.
And he had to take Ted home because Ted started spitting chicken nuggets out of his mouth while he's slumping over in a chair in the corner. Security came over and said, you got to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. Miles says, I'll take care of that. You deal with the boss. It's cool. Miles is gone forever.
Well, the reason was is I walked outside and Ted's now peeing on Camden Yards.
Right.
In the meantime, I see our other boss coming the other way. We somehow circumvented him. He did not know Ted was drunk. For whatever, I was like, yeah, Ted's not feeling well. I'm just going to take him home.
The only thing I remember from that night is the tone of, you better effing stand here for 2 minutes. And I mean, Miles is like physically holding me. I don't know.
One arm.
Luckily,
shaking,
it was dark.
Standing on say a word.
Can you imagine 300? And I'm just like, I don't know how for the 2 minutes I just stood there.
I was like, don't say a word. Yes. I got this.
Right, and then I fell out of the car on the way home.
And rolled under it.
I know we got to go.
I'm on King Jr. Boulevard, and the phone went underneath my car, and it was pouring down rain, so I had to like circumvent, like spider crawl on a 50-mile-an-hour interstate, grabbing his phone, pulling it in, and picking him up, putting him back in the car. And I said, man, call. I said, was like, dude, if you got to throw up in my hat. Here's my hat. And, of course, the door's open. Ted's gone. he's on the highway.
And then I get home real quick. I don't remember this. My roommate said I came in. Sut. He goes, you put your head under the sink, drank more water than I've seen anybody drink in my life. He goes, you held on to a chair for 2 minutes, then you went to sleep.
All right.
Ta-da!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Reach out to the guys on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Yes, friends, it's time once again for Sit and Spin. Let's gather around the old radio and listen to some swellerific new music.
Oh, there he is down in his basement dungeon studio bar. Give it up for Ryan Castle. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I hope you guys are ready to learn some stuff today.
We are.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to get cultured on Sit and Spin today and deeper into the culture of Germany than we typically get with the dirty Germans.
Oh, yeah. We like to get deep into your culture.
Are you saying that they're not cultured?
I'm just saying it's different.
Right.
There's more to Germany than... butt stuff.
Nine. Okay. Mm. Well, your Seattle Seahawks playing the first ever game in Germany as far as an NFL
game
is
concerned
against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When you looked at this thing, I guess on paper at the beginning of the year, you assumed that Tampa Bay would be the team with Tom Brady. They would be a hard team to beat. No one expected the Seahawks to be this good, and now it's like Seahawks going to go in there and kick their ass in Germany. And Germany
is German style.
A huge football country as far as the NFL.
They have their own league.
They have their own league, and it's a big Seahawks country. It really is. Like when they really were getting into it, the Seahawks were good.
They would.
What is the German football league called? I know their soccer league is like Bundesliga.
Bundesliga.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, but they. I want to say they have like 6 to 8 teams.
Right.
Like
right?
Throw a little test, and your brother knows, right? I think he was over there.
He did London. You mean World League?
But when they had the NFL Europe or whatever.
Yeah, NFL Europe.
Like the German teams, I was shocked. Like people showed up to the games. Care.
Yeah, my brother was there before he got to the NFL. It was their training ground. But yeah, man, he was like, you'd be surprised. You know, you go into the city, you don't know anything about the city, you go to the stands and it is packed.
This is going to shock you. The American Football League in Germany is known as the German Football League, the GFL.
All right, okay.
Wow. They're really creative,
you know
too.
What? I have, just watching on social media, it seems like a lot of Seahawks fans are either en route or already on their way over to Germany. A lot of people are making that trip to go to the game.
Oh, that'll be a rowdy flight.
And you'd have to think, Munich is like the, Steve said, the food and entertainment.
It's about food and drink, right?
And beer, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Lest we forget, Oktoberfest, born in Munich, right?
Oh, right. Yep. Strong point.
The only unfortunate thing about this game is kickoff is 6:30 for us here on the Pacific Coast. And not only that, but I think they have a local broadcast, but that normally the 6:30 games are on the NFL Network, just so you know. I'm sure a local affiliate
Correct.
Will pick it up.
Somebody, I think a local affiliate has to.
I believe so, yeah. So it should be on regular
Paul
TV.
I saw Paul Silvey's already flying over, so.
But either way, yes. So,
and he's not in covering the game.
You're going to...
yeah, and look, any excuse to drink beer at 6 o'clock in the morning, man, I'm in.
I was going
to
say, dude, if you're a Hawks fan, get up early.
Go find a bar.
Yeah, like
get
10
a Bloody
o'clock
Mary.
Games, I'll take a nap.
This happens
6:30?
One time.
Do you think there'll be bars open Sunday morning at 6:30 for this game?
Yes,
for sure.
Dude, if you've ever watched Premier League soccer, yes.
Exactly.
All right.
Are they
absolutely.
Allowed to? How early can you serve beer?
6 a.m.
6 o'clock.
I know this from the airport.
I know this from Premier League soccer. I have been in bars where you get there because the match starts at 4:30. Then at 6 a.m., everybody's lined up and they go, all right, what do you guys want?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, today you're going to educate us
I thought I would school you guys on not only musicians from Germany, but musicians that are famous in Germany so you can prepare yourself for the big game this weekend.
These are 10 German artists we randomly put on a list on Sit and Spin.
10, number 10.
Beethoven, his fifth.
It's true. Austrian, but born in Germany. Ludwig von Beethoven.
Well, how is he Austrian if he's born in Germany?
Well, it's like if you were born in Seattle and you moved to Vancouver, B.C., Thrill. And then you died there.
All right. I'll give him a pass because he's dead.
Is he still on tour?
Yes. Yes, he's actually he's opening for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra this winter.
That's one of those guys you want to see before they pass on, you know?
For sure.
He's on my bucket list.
Bucket list artist for sure.
He's on the casino route.
He and Bach. That's right. These are 10 German artists we randomly put on a list on Sit and Spin.
Number 9. The return to
innocence. Who in the hell is this?
This is Enigma. I'm glad you asked.
Enigma.
Thrill. Isn't this the song a coworker of ours that got stuck on a flight coming back with an NFL team and it kept playing over and over? Steve Stauffberg, he was working for the Baltimore Ravens radio network. And somehow on a flight back from the West Coast, like it was just like this song kept going, but it was like
what?
Oh, I should get him on. I thought you'd remember the story.
No.
Yeah, but it was just like the beginning part of it, and this was early 2000s. Like, people were freaked out.
I was like, was he losing his mind?
Yeah.
Because he's a pretty calm dude, but this would break anyone.
This sounds like it should have been in The Lion King.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that, too. That's probably why, right there.
I never owned any Enigma. I'm glad I skipped that one. 10 German artists we randomly put on a list on Sit and Spin.
Number 8.
I'm in love, dog.
I know this song. This is in the original version.
Milli Vanilli.
Two
black Germans. Are you surprised?
I wasn't dressed as them last week.
Yep. Property value went down in Germany.
Milli Vanilli German.
I would have never guessed that in 10 million years.
No. Yep.
Look, Rob, I'm black, German but if you show me two brothers, I'm like, yeah, from Germany.
I don't remember them sounding this German.
Yeah, these guys were brought together in 1988 as Milli Vanilli by German music producer and songwriter Frank Farian.
Milli Vanilli sounds very German, doesn't it?
It shouldn't sound German because they didn't actually
sing. This right. is the German version.
I believe they German. Actually
Rob,
went back.
Rob Pilatus and French musician Fabrice Morvan.
They went back after 1980. After they were busted and re-recorded everything on their own.
Oh, really?
All right, that's yes. what I was like. I know the yes. song. But this doesn't sound like the real version.
That's why this sounds worse.
10 German artists we randomly put on a list on Sit and Spin. Number 7.
I remember the song. What was this guy's name?
Peter Schilling.
Schilling. Right there.
Gary German.
The song is Major Tom Coming Home.
Hmm.
Gotta get that German beat like, yeah. Let's go into
the astronaut.
You know who we should have put on the list was Sprockets.
Not the time we dance.
10 German artists we randomly put on a list.
Number 6.
I know what you're thinking. It's Enigma again. No, this song is actually from The Lion King, and the guy's name is Hans Zimmer.
Oh, yeah.
Hans Zimmer.
So something we've learned about German music, any of it could be in The Lion King.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That guy did everything, man.
I was going to say, I know that name.
He did Pirates of the Caribbean. He did Dune. He did like a handful of other movies.
The Dark Knight series, if I'm not mistaken. Hans Zimmer has done a lot of scores
in movies. You hear his name once a year at the Oscars.
Well, he
was right. He's at least nominated, mm-hmm. right? Yep. He's that guy. Like Mike said earlier, he's the other John Williams.
Wouldn't it be so cool to be in Germany and run into Hans?
Yeah, well,
not to be confused with Hans Gruber.
This is actually a German guy that's singing right now.
Yeah. Or Hans in your ponds.
I bet if you go to Germany, you meet a lot of Hanses.
He's so Hansy. 10 German artists we randomly put on the list.
5. Number 5.
All right, that makes sense.
I know she's singing
our,
in German.
Our bumper band during Live Day do the song on kazoos, the Kazoodles doing 99 Left Balloons.
Is it because they couldn't sing it in German?
Perhaps.
What is it? What's her name again?
Oh, Nina.
Nina. Nina.
Oh, just Nina.
Yeah.
I'm like, Nina, just Nina.
What is Luft in German?
Mike looked it up right here. It is?
It is air.
Yeah. Air. 99 air
Why
balloons.
Why is it 99 red balloons in German, in English then?
But she says it's 99 Luft air balloons. So red air balloons.
Uh-huh.
Mike and I went through this earlier today because it's really important that we know stuff like this.
Yes! Mm-hmm.
I just knew it had to be air.
I suppose that makes sense that the Luftwaffe would be the Air Force.
Correct. The Nazi Army.
I just learned something else.
See? We learned stuff.
So the Luftwaffe then is technically German as well.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing. You nailed it.
Like Martin Luther King.
Wonder what they call condoms over there.
Yeah. I'm a black dude. That's what I clean myself with. Martin Luther King, yes. Oh, no.
10 German artists we randomly put on a list on Sit and Spin.
There's also the Luther Vandross. A little bit of Monica
in my life. God damn it. Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. I hate this song.
Well, this was a shock to me, too. This 1999 Latin pop hit was made famous by a German guy. This guy, Lou Bega, Mambo mm-hmm. number 5. No, his name is actually David Lou Bega.
Uh-huh.
And his stage name is his last name cut in two, Lou Bega.
I never would have guessed this for $1 million that he was German.
Not me. No way.
I would have danced all over the Caribbean. I'd have said anything. Portugal, Spain, something.
Not
Told
German.
Told you we were going to learn stuff today.
Yes.
Mambo are, number 5.
10 German artists we randomly put on a list.
3. Number 3. Du hast.
Du hast. They hide it well.
Yeah, all right. Nobody knows.
You certainly would not guess that they're from Germany.
You could have sex to this, though.
Super yeah. German. You know what? If you watch any of these guys' videos, a lot of it's basically just porn.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good.
So you could definitely, I mean, there's a sexual element here. Not to this song, though. I believe the translation is something like you hate if you've heard the German version.
But I can still be sexual.
You know it's going to be a romantic night when you light some candles and turn on the Rammstein. That's,
yeah. Yeah.
You're in for a sensual night.
10 sensual. German artists. We
I mean, it's got Ram right in the name.
Number 2. Here I
am. Woo. Yes, yeah. That's stop him. Like
Klaus and Rudolph and company.
And he's talking about those German hurricanes, which, if that's a sex move, I'll give it a try.
They're doing another farewell tour, aren't they? Aren't they on like their ninth farewell tour?
Everyone does their four or five farewell tours.
But they're like in their 70s, are they?
I
think they're one of the older bands out there. We don't realize how old they were when they made it famous in the first place.
Yeah, I found out that Scorpions a couple of years ago had like their 65th anniversary. And I think like everybody else, I went, wait, what? How?
Exactly.
Yeah, we were old when you got to know us.
It's the wind of change. It's me, Fartz.
But I'm Klaus May. My hair's always been so bad you couldn't tell.
I change hair with my butt. Wind of change.
That's about getting older.
10 German artists we randomly put on a list on Sit and Spin.
Number one.
Hooked on a feeling. Oh, David Hasselhoff. Hell yeah.
The Hoff. The Hoff may not be a German citizen as far as I know, but his grandmother was a German immigrant, and he's huge still in Germany. The Hoff.
You think if you went to Germany and you introduced yourself as Ryan Kasselhoff, you might get some ass?
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, so I'm right.
I mean, look, man, when the wall came down, perhaps one of the biggest events in German history since World War II, who's there? David Hasselhoff.
The Hoff.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. Nothing screams freedom like the Hoff.
There you go, a 10 German artists we randomly put on a list in honor of the Hawks and the Bucks. It's 6:30 Sunday. In Munich, Germany. Ryan Castle, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Want more of The Men's Room? Download the new podcast from Miles and Thrill, The Greatest Story Never Told. Available on radio.com.
I've been in that lot before with the... I don't know, you know, but... I stepped, because they've got like 20 cars out there.
Right.
I just have me like, you know, whatever they count, whatever they do. So I'm out. I'm like, I'm going to smoke a cigarette. So I step out of the car, smoke a cigarette, look. This guy's like, get back in the car, get back in the car. And he's walking a German Shepherd up and down on each side of the car. And I'm like, oh, no, this is not good. So I was like, okay, man, I'm just going to finish the cigarette up. But he's like, all right, just get in the car when you're done with it. So I keep smoking. And then he's coming my way. I'm like, I'm almost done, man, sorry. So I put the cigarette out. I was like, what is that guy doing, man? Is he looking for cocaine and drugs and stuff? And he goes, oh, no, he's a bomb-sniffing dog. I was like, oh, okay.
Thank God.
Cool, that's cool. That's
God.
Cool. Good job, buddy. Good job. Good job.
That is good news.
Good boy.
It's like, good boy. I'm telling you, every time we go to the airport, we see a dog. My wife's like, what do you have on you? I'm like, I don't carry anything to the airport. I'm not stupid. But she likes to bring up, no, I know that. But remember flying to San Francisco? Yeah. I'm like, I forgot it was in my pocket, and nobody discovered it.
I pet a beagle, man. This woman about lost her mind, this officer. Because the beagle came up to me, you know, like wagging tail.
But didn't you have drugs on there?
I might have.
He's working, Miles.
It says don't touch it.
No, it did not. Actually, it didn't. At that point in time, this was in BWI. I swear to God, I knew it was a dog that was working.
Right.
But it didn't say, like, don't touch the dog.
His job is supposed to walk up to you and have a sniff.
I had a bunch of seeds in my shoe from Jamaica. From all the weed. I saved all the seeds and I put them in the heel underneath my thing. And I'm like, man. So he comes up and I'm like, good boy. Hello. Hi, I've been down. He's wagging his tail and stuff. And I'm like, I am just hitting at this point.
Right.
Like, oh no, because I was going to bring him back for my photo trot.
But didn't you say that they were mad at you for doing it, but because of that, they snatched
They moved the dog away very quickly from me. Yeah, and that was like kind of that was a good thing.
Brilliant thinking.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I never thought of it that way. I was just like, I've been over like, how are you doing? What's going on?
So you didn't plan to do that to get them to jerk the dog away from you?
No, actually. Oh. No, I did not.
Because I thought it was just a brilliant move, yeah. Like, ooh, the dog, I've got stuff, let me pet him.
The dog took a beeline for me and came right over to my feet, so I bent over and just started rubbing
right
his ears.
For your feet.
Yeah, he did. Well, that's what so I started rubbing his ears. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Rubbing a weed
in his shoe. I like dogs. If a dog comes up to you and it's wagging its tail, you know, what else are you going to do?
I like that. That's a smart move, though.
You got to bend over, pet.
Who's a good boy?
Look at you, hardworking dog.
Oh, don't take the dog away.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Jesus.
My backpack is the one that worries me. I got to check it all the time before flights.
Oh.
Just because I take it with me on, like, road trips, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, look, it's just simple as, like, I might just have an edible in there. But, like, I got to make sure to dig through and be like, all right, I got to empty this bag out.
I have purchased two new backpacks for that very reason. And honestly, just, you're going to get on a plane, I don't know, you're going to visit someone at the holidays, you grab your go-to backpack and you realize, because you'll go through your pockets, and then I realize, like, Jesus, man, there's half a joint here. There's an empty baggie of something here. But even if I remove this dog's going to smell it. Like, babe, I need to buy a new bag.
Mine is
like, I need it, and that bag is designated as that is the travel
airline
bag.
Travel.
Right.
I played in, every year. I play in a golf tournament on the morning of Super Bowl Sunday,
all right,
which is typically frozen snow. It's one of those deals. It's just like, all right, we're gonna do this before we watch the Super Bowl. There's one guy in particular I know, and I'm not going to say his name on the air, but I saw him the other night.
Henry. Jeff.
Yeah, exactly.
Bob. Jared.
And he works for a marijuana company. So when this tournament's on, he knows I smoke. So there's a lot of samples that they give to people who can try it at home.
Sure.
They're typically little shorties or, you know, they have all kinds of different sizes.
Half-gram joints.
Yeah, exactly.
Ted doesn't know.
He throws about 40 of
half-gram joints.
You know, like the tubes aren't labeled. It's just kind of like you don't even know what you're smoking kind of thing.
I have another buddy that works for a legal marijuana company, and he always comes in and he's like, you want some edibles? I'm like, what's wrong with these? He's like, they melted together, so I don't know how strong they are. I'm like, I'll take them.
Right. Yeah.
Good news.
So he jams about 50 of these in my bag. And I'm like, all right, this is awesome. Completely forgot. Got on an airplane.
Oh.
Flew to San Diego, and I'm down there, and I'm like, I have a butt ton of weed in this golf bag. Like, and now I'm worried about getting on the plane to come home.
Because, God forbid, you just pull the weed out.
Well, I had to throw it away. I would need to throw it away.
No, why don't you just smoke it in San Diego?
It was 50 joints. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't like
how long were you there?
I was there for a weekend.
Come on, Snoop.
Weekend. All right.
Yeah, I mean, but seriously, I was like, oh my God. Like, I totally forgot it.
I'm not going to throw this away.
And, you know, like, he threw in vape pens and, like, the kind of.
Did you pass them out?
No. No, I did not.
Did you throw them out?
Well,
you're in California.
All right.
You did not throw them out, did you?
You flew them back.
No, I mean, I flew most of them back.
God damn it.
I do have.
That's what I'm saying.
My daughter and her friends got some. So thank you. They're college. It's what college kids do.
Yeah.
What is your inebriation story? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Jesse. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So in November of 2010, I got deployed to Iraq. March 2011, we were redeployed to Aviano, Italy. And we weren't allowed to drink at all for the first month.
Quick question. Where on the boot is Aviano?
At the very north. Right. It's about an hour north of Venice.
Okay.
All right.
So we weren't drinking. About a month and a half in, me and my roommate, we started to have a few drinks. And so I went on with our group of guys. About midway through it, one of my buddies thought it was a great idea to break out a bottle of Crown and challenge me to some shots. So we did it, and then eventually went to bed. Before I went to bed, on my cot, I grabbed my trash can and put it next to me because I knew I was going to puke. So I puked. About the middle of the night, my roommate got up, took the trash can, cleaned it, put it back where it's supposed to be. I leaned over, grabbed what I thought was the trash can, and puked again. Passed back out, woke up, rolled over, grabbed again what I thought was the trash can, puked again, and passed back out. About 2 o'clock, I woke up to go to work, and my roommate goes, "Hey, Jeff, you puked in your boots, man."
Oh.
I look over. Both of my work boots were halfway full of vomit. It was...
That's,
and I had to go to work with wet boots.
Yep.
Hey, but at least it's your own fault.
Right. I was 22 years old, spent the night with this lady, and too drunk to be able to do anything. We both just got... at least I was. I mean, I'm sure she could have hung in there, but we were just absolutely hammered. So I'm sleeping in a room that I don't really know. I feel like I need to throw up. I jump up. I find her bathroom.
Right.
I go in there. As soon as I sit down, it's one of those dilemma things. I am coming out both ends. So I grab the wastebasket, and I bring it over, and I throw up into the basket. I'm not really paying attention because I'm absolutely hammered. I realize this is a wicker basket. Of the liquid just goes right down on my pants and on my shoes. So I attempt to wash out the wicker basket the best I can. I'm covered in puke, by the way, my clothes.
Right.
I need to rinse these out. So I wash them all out and just kind of hang them in the bathtub. I tell her in the morning, I'm like, "Hey, man, I'm sorry. I ended up throwing up in your bathroom. Good news is I threw up in the waste paper basket. Bad news is I realized it's wicker." And she was like, "The wicker basket you threw up in?" I was like, "Yeah. But I tried to wash some of it out, but it definitely needs a good cleaning." She's like, That's my grandmother gave me that. She made that. She makes wicker. And I was like, oh man, I'm sorry. Well, tell her you need another one. She's like, my grandmother's dead.
Oh.
Brought to you by Men's Room Original Ale. Please get some help and drink responsibly. Like, okay.
I'm never getting a date with this girl again. Yeah. I was like, who makes wicker bathroom basket?
Why?
You know.
God, my grandmother gave me that.
I mean, why would you give that to someone?
God rest her soul.
Exactly. And she's dead? You're too young to have a dead grandma.
Can't get enough of the Men's Room? Listen to the Men's Room Daily Podcast on the radio.com app.
Part of it made it to drink it time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the Men's Room knows just who it is. Hey. So, to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor! You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed, and today we toast two unidentified people from Springfield, Missouri. I want to apologize for those of you that are from Missouri, because we know that you love it so much more when we say Missouri. But here's the thing. Two shoplifters, all right? They stole a bunch of stuff from Ross Dress for Less store in Springfield, Missouri this past Saturday. Yes, Ted, they stole a bunch of stuff.
Ross.
Ross.
It's pretty affordable.
And Dress for Less. They're already telling you, like, hey, we're not here to gouge. It didn't matter. They went in there to shoplift. But here's where they were brilliant. Instead of having one getaway vehicle, each one of them brought their own vehicle. Right? You see what they're trying to do there. So after they stole the stuff, they ran outside and they fled in two different cars. And they were trying to get out of there as fast as possible. The problem is, they rushed a little too much, and they both ended up crashing. The irony, they crashed into each other at a nearby intersection. They'd made it out of the parking lot. All they had to do was keep gunning it. They hit each other because they were both speeding to get away from Ross Dress for Less. Well, at that point, they both got out of the cars and took off on foot. But to the shock of no one, cops did track them down nearby, and they're facing, believe it or not, here's the beauty of robbing a Ross, is they're facing misdemeanor theft charges. Mm.
Oh, because it didn't cost enough.
Whatever they stole did not add up to enough for it to be a felony. So it is a misdemeanor charge. Basically, they're going to slap on the wrist. But yeah, they took two different cars and they crashed into each other at an intersection that was not at the store.
Geniuses.
Yep. Brilliant. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill. Also available on radio.com.
Oh, man.
A Double Flush production.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough of the Men's Room? Listen to the Men's Room Daily Podcast on the radio.com app.
Part of it made it to drink it time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the Men's Room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor.
You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed, and today we toast two unidentified people from Springfield, Missouri. I want to apologize for those of you that are from Missouri, because we know that you love it so much more when we say Missouri. Oh. But here's the thing. Two shoplifters, all right? They stole a bunch of stuff from Ross Dress for Less store in Springfield, Missouri this past Saturday. Yes, Ted, they stole a bunch of stuff.
Ross.
Ross.
It's pretty affordable.
And Dress for Less. They're already telling you, like, hey, we're not here to gouge. It didn't matter. They went in there to shoplift. But here's where they were brilliant. Instead of having one getaway vehicle, each one of them brought their own vehicle. Right? You see what they're trying to do there. So after they stole the stuff, they ran outside and they fled in two different cars. And they were trying to get out of there as fast as possible. The problem is they rushed a little too much and they both ended up crashing. The irony, they crashed into each other at a nearby intersection. They'd made it out of the parking lot. All they had to do was keep gunning it. They hit each other because they were both speeding to get away from Ross Dress for Less. Well, at that point, they both got out of the cars and took off on foot. But to the shock of no one, cops did track them down nearby and are facing, believe it or not, here's the beauty of robbing a Ross, is they're facing misdemeanor theft charges. Mm.
Oh, because it didn't cost enough.
Whatever they stole did not add up to enough for it to be a felony. So it is a misdemeanor charge. Basically, they're going to slap on the wrist. But yeah, they took two different cars and they crashed into each other at an intersection that was not at the store.
Geniuses.
Yep. Brilliant. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill. Also available on radio.com.
Oh, man.
A Double Flush production.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.